So let's get started. Hopefully, if anybody else is joining, they'll be here before we've finished with introductions. So this is our first ever reporting showcase for OpenLMIS with the ONA team working on some new reporting tooling and eventually building some reports for disk indicators. The showcase meeting, this one is scheduled for an hour. We will definitely wrap up by the top of the hour because product committee happens then. The first one here, this first showcase, can be pretty informal and relaxed. We wanted to sort of do a catch-up showcase, is what Clay and I were calling it, just for us at Village Reach to get caught up on what you all had already been doing since you started work on the reporting SOW. And so we'll kind of go through the sequence of what a normal showcase meeting is, but it'll be more relaxed, and we want to kind of mostly see what you, the team, have been up to and get caught up on your work, and also talk about some of the dependencies, like us getting you demo data that you need to build reports and the status of those dependencies. And then after this, we'll get in a normal two-week cycle of kind of doing a showcase and using Jira to track some of our work. So first, before we dig in, I would like to start with introductions. I think there's a lot of folks here who have not met quite everybody on the team. So maybe I'll ask the Village Reach people to go first really quickly. This is Brandon. I will be kind of usually the facilitator of the showcase meetings, and my role is software dev manager on the Village Reach team called Team Ill. And I kind of help facilitate and usually come to showcase with a few stats and updates. That's me. And maybe real quick, we could go in alphabetical order for like Josh, Mary Jo, Nick, and Sam to introduce their roles.
Sure. I'm Josh. I'm the OpenLMIS architect, and very excited to be here. And I've been working on OpenLMIS for going on 4 years now. So this is great. That's me.
Hi, this is Mary Jo Kokendorfer, your product manager. I've been with OpenLMIS for about a year and a half now, and excited to get this work started.
Hi, I'm Nick Reed. I am really unsure what my title is, but I'm everything UI, as those unicorns go. Been on OpenLMIS for about a year.
Hi, I'm Sam Im. I'm the analyst for OpenLMIS. I've been here for a little over 6 months, and I also have a heavy role in the QA as the QA lead.
Great. I think that is Team Ill. And on the ONA side, I don't know, Clay, do you want to start? And then anyone else you've got there on the ONA side can kind of introduce themselves in their role.
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Clay Crosby. I'm the project manager from the ONA side who will be working, on coordinating this project and making sure that, both of our teams are staying in sync. I'll also be doing a little bit of work in speccing out the metrics and doing some configuration in Superset as well. And I have with me Kelvin.
Hi, I'm Kelvin. I'm a software developer at ONA. I'm excited to be part of the team.
I am Matt. I'm with ONA. Also, be helping sort of just on the overall kind of oversight from our side. Some more work in the beginning and just kind of strategic support. Peter?
Hi, I'm Peter. I'll be working with the engineering team on the data engineering portions of the project.
And that does it for Mars.
Okay, great. It looks like perhaps we also have Vishwa, if I'm right about that, you're welcome to introduce yourself and your role as well. Vishwa, I don't know. We saw the little microphone icon appeared and disappeared. We didn't get any of your audio. So feel free to use the chat as well and say hello, or to speak up and try again if you're having any audio issues. We definitely would love your questions and look at all of this reporting work.
Do you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Is that clear enough?
Yeah, we can hear you better now. Thanks.
Okay, great. So I'm Vishwa again, with JSI, and I work with Sam and team in helping with testing.
Excellent. Welcome. So, as this is a showcase meeting, I'll kind of run through the normal sequence of a showcase. Even though today's pretty informal, I first want to catch up on things. So normally at the beginning of a showcase, one of the things I would do for just a couple minutes is just remind folks of what was the sprint we were working on, what were the sprint goals, and show a list of the tickets that got done. And for this first sprint, we don't have tickets in JIRA. Clay and I had a good conversation yesterday about how to begin tracking the work. So all we have is this dummy sprint called Sprint Zero with a ticket about holding this showcase meeting today, which is now I just dragged to in progress. So normally we'd be looking in JIRA. I have a couple kind of standard charts and graphs. I think because so far the team has used the GitHub issues feature to track their work, I think we'll be making some JIRA tickets that may be like higher level groupings of things. And then in the JIRA ticket descriptions, put in links to the GitHub issues so that we can start to connect those two worlds, and we'll iterate and refine as we go. Definitely the JIRA part is important for some, you know, like visibility into for the public kind of OpenLMIS community to know what's going on. So that's what I normally do these first couple minutes. And there's nothing, you know, more really statistics or charts and graphs wise to show, but once we're a few sprints in and have a kind of a regular pace and velocity and a list of things being worked on each sprint, that'll help orient us at the beginning. So the next part of the showcase is where I pass the presenter ball to, you know, Clay, you and the team, and basically this is the bulk of the meeting where it's your chance to do screen sharing and show us a bit of what's been done and take some Q&A as we go through things. So let's see, Clay, I think I can make you the presenter. Or maybe you can just click share screen without me even passing the presenter ball. So I'll hand it over to you.
Sure, thanks. So at this point we were going to do a quick demo to show what the reporting suite sort of looks like. I don't know if Matt or Peter, one of you, were going to...
Yeah, I can do that, but I think we want to start by... We have been doing a lot of work, and we're actually quite along, I think we're pretty far along in our deliverables. A lot of that's been setting up sort of the infrastructure. I don't know if we have that screen somewhere? Let me see. Does anybody have the diagram of the data warehouse? Let me see, one sec.
Yeah, I can pull that up one second.
We could have Peter walk through a little bit sort of where we're at now in terms of setup of things. Sorry.
That blog post.
Great. We see your screen.
Okay.
Jesus. Yeah, your screen just got wider. We totally see it. And right. We hear Slack blowing up.
So Peter, can you maybe walk us through a little bit the work that we've been doing kind of on for the Ansible roles and all that related to this.
Cool, sure. Thanks, Matt. So we've been building out these different pieces of the data infrastructure. So we started with what is most visual, the superset component and the underlying data store that's needed for that, which is the Druid analytics database. So we're building these out by creating reusable Ansible role files is what they're called. So there's a set of scripts more or less that work within this larger sort of ecosystem of other tooling for scripts and automatic server configuration tools. So we have a separate one for Druid and the different components of Druid. Druid is actually comprised of five separate types of servers, a historical server for old data, a real-time server or streaming server for real-time data, a broker server to coordinate those different servers, a coordinator server to manage them as well, and an overlord server, which balances the traffic between the four other servers. So we have a role that runs that. We also have a role for another tool called ViewKeeper, which isn't depicted in this diagram, but the role or the purpose of that tool is basically to scale out the Druid nodes and the stream processors horizontally, so it coordinates them to make sure that they're up and running and they know about each other so they can balance traffic between themselves. So that's one role that is all completed now. It's actually running and we're using it for other data sources at the moment, sort of testing it out and playing around with it. Superset is the visualization tool that has a role that we've written for it, and it is connected to the Druid server. So we've been testing a couple ways to set that up. Right now we have a setup where we load our historical data into the Druid servers and we have streaming data come in. And then in real time with very fast queries, like less than, I think they're about 200 milliseconds around there, you can run queries on this data set of around a quarter of a million records right now. And the next piece that we're working on, so this visualization component, that's set up, it's running, we're pretty confident in it. We're sort of learning a bit more about how to scale it and how to scale it out horizontally as for, you know, the future. But the other piece that we've begun setting up is the NiFi ingestion part. So that's the part at the top, so where the APIs will point to from the OpenLMIS APIs and from the OpenSRP APIs for, you know, the automatic ingestion of data. So we have another Ansible role that sets up the NiFi server and configures the security settings around it. So because this is the ingestion part and how you could get data into the system, it's important that we just keep track of what locations are allowed to send data to it. And so right now that is up and running and we are experimenting with connecting data to it from the outside world and then pushing the data from that into Druid directly. The other part, Kafka, the stream manager in HDFS. HDFS, right now we're running that as Amazon S3, so it serves the exact same function. If we wanted to do an on-site, in-country deployment on their servers, we'd need to set up HDFS in a separate way, but for now that's not an issue for us, and it's built so that we can sort of swap it out as needed in the future. For the Kafka part, we've set that up also using a role, it's running, and another tool that's not depicted in there, which is a manager for Kafka. Basically, Kafka doesn't come with the user interface, so this is useful if we're having problems with the pace of the streams or with data pairing or data pairing slowly. We can see in a visual way how those streams are working and how they're connected. So right now, that's not hooked into the pipeline. We'll probably wait to do that after we've gotten a bit farther with ingesting the data and building indicators out of it, since it's not necessary. At this moment, it will be necessary as we get more greater amounts of traffic. But for now, just for the purposes of getting a demo up, sort of verifying and prototyping the idea, we're focusing on visualization, the OO analytics data store, and the data ingestion from the NiFi part. So that's sort of where we are in terms of the data engineering side. So in summary, we have prototypes of everything. We have farther along prototypes of the visualization and the data store.
And just one thing I wanted to flag that I think is actually really cool is that, so there's this site called Ansible, I think it's called Galaxy, And Ansible is sort of becoming one of the de facto ways of sharing setup scripts. But there doesn't really exist any open source setup scripts for Superset, Druid, and some of these pieces that we've been doing. So I think it'll be actually kind of a cool contribution back, not just for development, but for the general kind of tech community, that we were adding some of these roles in there. So we're kind of curious to see what the feedback is on that. Any questions on this part so far before we shift over and show some of the other stuff?
Not for me.
Maybe one. I'll jump in with one question here. This is Brandon. Sure. Just to orient folks, maybe describe where some of this stuff is living so far. The Ansible kind of recipes that configure these different components are in Git repos that are, which Git repos are kind of, how is it organized, or where so far does what you've done live?
Yeah, great question. So right now they're in a private Git repo that we maintain for sort of operations work that we do as we're experimenting with it. We wanted to give it a bit more time as we run it. So we've actually been modifying it as we run it to sort of add some additional options for maybe versions of code or different like port numbers, so things that at first we didn't make configurable, but as we're experimenting with it, we're seeing that they should be configurable. So once we get to this point where we feel like the roles are rather stable, we'll move them into open source repositories and then also register them on what Matt mentioned, the Ansible Galaxy repository, which is this toolkit of plugins for this widely used operations developed like infrastructure operations management system.
Peter, do you want to show them what one of these looks like? Kind of curious.
I'm on the phone, so I can't share my screen.
Okay. Where is it? I can share mine.
Yeah, let me send you a link.
Let me share my screen. Okay. Well, I have too much stuff here. Is there a way just to share just a window?
There is, I think when you click sharing in Zoom, there is a big thing that will let you choose just which individual window to share.
All right, one sec. Okay, here we go. Cool.
Awesome. Cool, yeah, we see a browser GitHub window.
Cool, so what should I be looking for, Peter?
I sent the link on the OpenSRP channel for the right folder. And then send another one for a more code-based file.
Yeah, so we'll definitely get these in a public repo, you guys can see. So I should look at Druid or what you want?
It's in a Superset install task. Okay,
cool. So these are the different ones we've been working on, Druid, Kafka, NiFi, the different ones, Superset that Peter was talking about.
And then if you go into Superset tasks install, this is an example of what we're building. So it's basically a set of steps to configure this application on the server with tags that are pulled in from different variables. So it interpolates variables that you might set. So if you're deploying to a server on Amazon hosted by Village Reach, you'd sort of set your variables up to point to that server, point to the database that it would be using, things like that. If you're deploying in country on a Dell server running in the Ministry of Health, you can change your variables so that it's appropriate for that situation as well.
Cool. Okay. Anyway, so that's sort of what these looks like. These kind of tasks or under playbooks look like, or roles, I guess they're called. Here's the one for Druid, just as an example. I guess there's a lot more different things here. So some of them are quite bigger, a lot bigger than the other ones are. So, cool. All right, so I'm going to just show you what Superset looks like. Unfortunately, last night, we actually have a live version working for this malaria project we're working on that I was going to show you, but that broke. So I'm going to show you some other ones that we have, some examples in one, including some of the one we're doing for Zanda. It's still kind of a work in progress. So this is kind of what Superset looks like. Basically, it works by allowing you to create different kinds of dashboards. And dashboards basically consist of these things called slices. So slices is basically like a chart or some kind of view. And there's quite a few different types. Actually, let me just browse into one that we can kind of change. So the idea is that you have these slices, you have sources, so you can connect to different kinds of data sources. So we're going to be using Druid for the most case. But we are also to query directly from tables. So they can be different kinds of ODBC or SQL databases. So we'll also probably be using a combination of this. This would also allow us to potentially query directly. If we do expose OpenLMIS database drivers, that could also be something we look at. But for now, we're going to go with the straight data warehousing approach. But it does allow you to connect to different types of data sources besides just Druid. Let me show you kind of what a dashboard looks like, and then we can kind of go into it. So here's kind of a sample one that comes with Druid. So this is running on one of our servers. This is a world population data set. So it shows off some of the different types of widgets that are available. So you have kind of like a population line with things. You can have a map. You could have tables that have kind of charts in the background. There's, you know, this is a multi-series time series chart with a whole bunch of different things. All these things are filterable, so you can kind of make them interactive. You have different types of, there's a whole bunch of visuals that come with it, kind of a area graph, plot graph. I think these are called a tree graph, box plots. So these are some of the widgets that are available. Sorry?
This is Mary Jo. I like seeing some of these widgets. Just curious if you know, do they have spider?
I'll show you in a minute. We can look. So I'll show you all the different ones that are very available. Okay. And then, so the other nice thing is you can do different filters. So I can see if we just want to see like sub-Saharan Africa. Now all the data would filter out across those data sets. So we just have the countries that are from sub-Saharan Africa in here. Why not the box plot for that? So it's not as, you know, as powerful as Tableau, but it does give you a lot of that similar functionality. What's really nice is all of these widgets, so to speak, you can kind of go into them and explore them. So this is kind of what a slice looks like. What's nice about that is we can create new widget types or new kind of charts, so to speak, or new visualizations. This is, Superset is built in a Python framework called Flask, and it makes it quite easy for us to add new kinds of visuals. So if we realize that there's a kind of chart that we really want to have that's not supported, or a kind of map, we could build basically them into components for the dashboard. So this is like one example where you have your growth chart. It's quite powerful in that you can kind of design your metrics. So one of the things we'll be doing is kind of coming up with, you know, all the available metrics that we'll be using the system. So that's kind of one of the aspects of kind of what Clay will be working on. There's a lot of different kinds of chart options. You can have color filters, range filters, a lot of different things. So that's sort of, you know, what you do is you basically define these widgets. These also provide a nice means of doing like additional exploration. Then you save them, then you build your dashboards using these components. So the idea is we'll have sort of for each of the key indicators, different kinds of dashboards that we'll set up. But there's also, just to show you, there's a bunch of different types of widgets. So these give you some of the types that are available. So let me see if they have the one. Mary, you said there's like distribution, pie charts, time series line, time series bar chart, percent change. Some of these are quite similar. I don't really know the difference. Like stacked bar charts, different types of tables, pivot tables, time series tables. This is nice. You can have like little, I forgot what these are called. So that I could see this being really handy for if you want to see, for example, I don't, this isn't going to work, I don't think, but if you want to compare like stocks across a bunch of different stocks at one time, that would probably be a really nice visualization for that.
Just a quick question on that chart or level you were showing.
Yeah, let me go back. Yep.
We don't have to do it on this call, but is there a way that I could, on like the Superset website, does it show me all the, like, I just want to look through that list offline to see what all those options are. Is that possible?
Yeah, let me see where they're documented. It's sort of, I don't know if they have like a single place or if it's just in the app right now. I don't know if the documentation is kept up to date with the actual app.
Just wanting to see all the different visualization types, so we don't have
this
to.
This is like, this is the best. We'll create a login for you guys to log in and play around with this. But there's time series tables. There's like calendar heat maps, box plots. You know, like trend, big numbers of trends, bullet charts, which are nice for targets, bubble charts, histograms, sunbursts, maps. You know, we could add. So we're going to be adding some custom maps, I think, based on the work we've been doing on the mapping side. So these are some of the visuals that kind of come out of the box. But I think it's pretty easy to add your own. And one thing we haven't researched yet, there might be a community of external like plugin visualizations that you could add to. I just haven't seen them yet. So like, here's another example of like an SVG chart for like a map. So you can kind of build simple chloropleth maps, based on a chart element instead of like it being like a slippy map. So that's, you know, these are the kinds of things that it allows you to kind of do. The other nice thing about Superset, which we're working to figure out, is that it has very powerful permissions. So you can kind of create roles and user lists, and then user statistics. So it's, we could actually see like later on how many people have logged in and have had failed logins. So it has a lot of, I don't know what other kinds of indicators are in there around usage. But we can definitely create a lot of different kinds of permissions. I think it supports like LDAP and OAuth and other things. So we could also figure out how to link it to OpenLMS permissions, ideally. So that'll be one of the things we're going to be looking at and researching kind of as we go. So there's kind of robust permissions built in. We can style this like templating and whatnot. We can build custom visuals, like we mentioned, and then build these dashboards. So that's sort of what we're at. We're kind of learning the system right now. Here's an example of like one we're using for Zambia. It's very simple, but basically it allows us to see like how many children have been weighed, how many vaccines have been given. Then you can like see activity by areas if I want to see just specific facilities. I can now drill down and I have a list for the two facilities, you know, in there. So this is more of kind of a real world example of how we're using it. Very initially, we're working on improving this quite a bit too, on the kind of in one of our projects. We had a demo actually set up that's a lot more built out around our malaria spraying, but we last night during an upgrade, we just kind of screwed up the database. So we're working on getting that fixed. We can probably have that to show you a little bit later. If you want. So this basically just shows how you can apply filters across data sets kind of really quickly and kind of, you know, dig in the data, or you can, you know, filter out by different things. So it keeps it kind of very interactive. But the idea is we really want to make it, you know, sort of self-service in the future, where if you want to do additional analysis, if you want to drill into something and explore a bit more, then you can kind of do that using these exploration tools, which are quite useful. So from, I think the project side, as we're working to figure this out, the next thing we're working to do is kind of trying to define these metrics. So under, I think this one's just a table for now. Sorry, maybe it's databases. Oops. Is we're trying to figure out kind of the data model of how we're going to do the calculations for things. So like, well, how does dropout work? You know, there's rolling averages and whatnot. So that's sort of, I think, the main thing on our plate is for the disk indicators that we have, trying to figure out what the logic looks like. So how do we build the kind of the queries, you know, what data does it need to come from? So we can kind of come up with the metrics that would then be feeding into these slices to do the visualizations. So that's sort of the next step for us, I think, in terms of kind of on the data mapping side. So that's what like Clay and myself have been kind of working on it to start to try and figure out based on kind of the disk indicators that we've been reviewing. So we don't have anything kind of specific yet to OpenLMIS, but we have a lot of the infrastructure set up. We've been working on learning how this works, getting the tools kind of working. So the next step I think that would be really helpful is getting kind of dummy data. So that kind of leads us to that, I think, place in the discussion. Once we have that, we can kind of populate the data warehouse and then superset with some dummy data. We can start to work on what one of the initial like disk or two disk indicator reports would look like. So I think that's sort of the next step for us. And then in parallel, Peter will be kind of working on continuing to build out the data infrastructure to connect all the dots. But we have enough in place now that we could build a lot of the reporting out, which is sort of how we lay that out in our proposal in terms of how we're going to sequence it. I'll give you an access so you can play around in terms of understanding what the visuals look like. And what I'm going to do is try and find out if there's a broader set of visualization types that exist that we can pull in, and also learning a little bit more how we can create custom ones if needed. Brandon, did you have a question?
No, I was just going to say, all of those next steps seem good. And getting logins. So we could start to explore would be great. As soon as you get the code to a place where you feel like it can be shared in the Ansible, in the Ansible site and in a public Git repo, that will be an important step. Was there anything else at all you all at, the ONA team wanted to show or screen share to kind of catch us up to the work you've been doing?
I think that's it mainly. We've been also working on sort of like, Clay, I don't know if you want to talk about it, just sort of an approach for managing how we add a new metric or indicator in terms of like, the process of understanding how it works, how to be visualized, like where the data comes from, how do we build a query. We're trying to like systematize that approach. So, not to put you on the spot, Clay, but do you have a couple of comments?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're trying to come through a, like Matt was saying, a system where we essentially work from an indicator down to a data model to the specific data elements that we'll need, to build into our database that we then build up into supersets. So basically, I've been going through the disk indicator sheet that y'all provided and the information on the JIRA, and you sort of extracting from each of those key disk indicators what a data model might look like. I think once we get some of that sample data from y'all, it'll be I think the mock-ups might be a little more meaningful. I did want to ask one question while we had y'all on the phone. So I know the wiki has the JIRA has or the Confluence, excuse me, has our disk indicators prioritized? Which number of, like how many of those are we focusing on in this first phase? The documentation I have says three or four. Are we doing three or four? This is, I guess, the question.
I mean, I think our hope is that by January we would have like one or two up and going, and by March we'd be far as long as it could be with time available, but I think three or four is injured, kind of goal, depending on how things go.
Yeah, and to echo that, I think it's as we learn how long it takes, and as we build one indicator, if we think, we could easily make this other chart or graph or widget as well, we want to do that. We're just trying to make something that's useful and sellable to Gabby. So it's tough to answer that with a concrete, we need these two in this way, and that's all that we're looking for. It's more of like, depending how long it takes to get one or two up, I would hope our goal would be to get as many as we can that's useful and that there's value for, but not to arbitrarily just put stuff up either.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, thanks. So we'll, as Kelvin and I in the latter half of this week are working through this sort of metric, like detailed technical metric specification process, I think, you know, that might give us a better idea of what is, you know, reasonable for us to achieve in the time frame we have.
Great. That would be
excellent.
And if you ever have questions about those indicators or what we're looking for, feel free to reach out. I was just having a great conversation yesterday with Vidya about different indicators and visualizations. So we have a lot of expertise about what works or what hasn't worked and what people find useful. So
cool.
If you ever have questions, just let us know.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I mean, I think the other thing that we sort of need to talk through, like, I'm realizing they might be in the disk indicators, but like we might want to start thinking about like what kind of disaggregations, what kind of filters we want to have in these. So, like, is it filtering by region? Is it filtered by facility? What are, like, I imagine that's in the indicators, but I'm not positive. I have to go back and read it from that lens. There's sort of these operational aspects around, you know, creating a dashboard of, you know, how do we want to see them? And also, are there any roles, based, are there roles in the dashboard too, in terms of who would see what?
Yeah, and that's something, just to echo Matt's point, that's something that, that Kelvin and I will be trying to capture in our sort of metric analysis, as well as is not just a technical definition in terms of what's a numerator, denominator, what data elements are involved, but also what ways we think we should visualize it, how it should be summarized, you know, if it should be grouped at all. And I know a lot of that is in the PDF y'all provided, so it's kind of a matter of putting that together and then, you know, us just adding anything that we think might be beneficial. But that'll be something that's included in our analysis that we can, I think, we'll be able to probably go through with this group in a couple of weeks at our next showcase.
Great, and as you guys do that, and if we do schedule intermittent meetings, feel free to use our Confluence and create new pages that help show that, because it would be easy then to see if you have open questions, or I can also throw up other examples in a space that you're working in.
Cool. Yeah, as we get a lot of these indicators fleshed out, I'll probably create a page per indicator that has a lot more detail in terms of how it's being defined, how it's being displayed, etc. And yeah, we'll definitely be in communication you know, more frequently than these biweekly meetings as well.
Great.
And yeah, and feel free to use the Slack too, if, you know, once we get in sort of a daily rhythm of the daily Slack update that Clay and I had talked about this earlier, you know, that you can write us a summary and say, hey, we're actually now waiting on this, you know, this guidance from Mary Jo or the team or whoever, or Josh, you know, you can be kind of at mentioning and pinging us so that we know quickly during our working hours what to prioritize to help you keep moving.
Cool.
Mary Jo, the other thing I wanted to just confirm on this wiki page about the prioritized list of disk indicators. I mean, these seven indicators are 1 through 7 in the order that you've kind of refined as you've talked to people about priorities. And I think the first one, full stock availability, is the one we had like a breakout session about a couple weeks ago when Matt and Peter came to the Vildreach office. I mean, from your perspective, the most important thing is probably that, you know, that number one and number two are your top one or two, because those are the first two that will get worked on. And like everybody said, hopefully we'll get to a third and maybe a fourth, you know, but well, that'll just all depend on how the process goes. But are you still feeling solid that this page reflects your top one or two here accurately, that full stockability and then closed vial wastage are the point that, you know, that Clay and Kelvin should be diving deep into?
Yes, they are in order.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Just a quick question on the vaccine one, the 6 and 7. Those might be relatively easy to do if we had the data. I don't know if they're easy to do, but would that be of value to Gabby? I see there's a note that you might already have an example of that already that you can show.
I'm a little confused. You said...
Sorry, the cold chain piece.
Yeah.
Like, that might be ones that... I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be any easier. Those might be relatively easy to do compared to some of the others. Just saying it for Gabby, if we got like a couple top ones done or one or two done, and we had the data, we might, I don't know, I need to look at it. Those just jump out as me as maybe being a little bit simpler.
I still would push for the order they're in.
Okay.
Number 6, technically we already have the functionality to view the cold chain equipment status in.
Okay.
So like the visualization of being able to see which cold chain is working or not will be already in OpenLMIS. And okay. Then the temperature alarm rates will be set in our integration with NextLeaf. I think we still need to have some conversations about how those visuals get populated based on NextLeaf platform. And if, you know, and I think there's definitely the opportunity to have conversations of does NextLeaf platform push directly into our data warehousing strategy to surface that information. I would still push for the order of operations that we have, as it's reflective of Vidya's understanding of Gabby's priorities and the vaccine stakeholders that she's in connection with. And okay. Yep.
Okay. Great. Just one other thing I wanted to flag. So with Superset, there's a couple of things that might be, when we're thinking about these visualizations and dashboards, we might want to also be thinking about, are there any times where we want the visual to actually be in OpenLMIS and not in an external dashboard, even if they're very kind of closely coupled? So, you know, currently with Superset, we can do embeds. So we'd have to figure out how that would port over between different versions, but, you know, you could copy and paste a chart like with an iframe into potentially into OpenLMIS. But they are moving towards a React component approach. So I think it will be possible in the future that we could create chart elements that will be powered directly from the Superset kind of backend, but be embedded in, could be embeddable within your own app. So we could potentially look at using some of these things within OpenLMIS directly. So if you have, like, there might be some of these charts that would be really helpful to see as you're making like a forecasting, like an order confirmation or something like that. We discussed, I think, Mary Jo. And then lastly, it also provides us sort of an API for these visuals. So it exposes Superset and also Druid will expose directly kind of endpoints for these aggregations and for these metrics. So it would also be a way where you could probably, it might be easy just to build some simple charts, but being powered from this backend that you use to create visuals within OpenLMIS. So I just wanted to frame that longer term, that we don't have to necessarily think of all this work that we're doing just being for an external dashboard, but it ideally could be powering visual components of OpenLMIS in the future, but sort of powered from this analytical backend.
That's really exciting, and I hope to have further conversations on that, because I think there's a lot of interest in that throughout the application. If we can make that work and performant and lots of details, I'm sure.
Cool. Yeah, I just wanted to like flag that for like Nick and others of how we're sort of thinking of this, that not just purely as an external kind of tool.
Mary Jo, if I can just add up, I think Matt has brought up a very good and valid point. So if we are able to demonstrate that, it will add, I think, tremendous value moving forward.
Cool.
Thank you.
I concur, Alfred. Yes. It's going to be very exciting.
So did Alfred intro in the beginning?
Yeah, Alfred, it's really great to have you here. Do you want to briefly say kind of where you're based and what your role is?
Thank you, Brandon. Hi, everyone. I joined a few minutes late. So I'm based in Tanzania, and I'm supporting the ELMIS in Tanzania with future prospects of strongly introducing or convincing a migration to version 3 down the line with the help of Mary Jo and all of you back there. But also, so this is an interesting topic, especially the last points that we just commented about dashboards. And a few things that I've been having on top of my head is, and this is coming from the experience that I have had. So at the end of the day, when you have like 3 years worth of data, you yeah. would really need to have a very super, like a quick glance of a very high official that can look at a dashboard and learn something from it. And so I think most of the time we spend a lot of our energies and creativity to create some reports that would suit everybody. Of course, there are those that will really address to address a common need for a group of people. But we've been missing that creativity to have these good dashboards that would cut across many very high official people. So I'm already seeing this initiative that is good, but I would also love to know or hear what are the limitations or things that we think this is not as equivalent or not superior as Tableau. Because I know a few people that have been looking towards Tableau, and it will be good to know so that when people make early choices, they don't spend much time on something else which will not meet their needs. So, yeah, those are my few for today. Thank you.
Alfred, hey, thanks, and it's great to meet you. Yeah, those are all really good points, and I think the Tableau thing is an excellent, I think, point. So We're big fans of Tableau. We've used it a lot on projects. We're quite good at it. Tableau is definitely an option for a lot of this. We're trying to build the warehousing strategy long term in a way that you can connect directly. You can create a driver and connect it to Tableau or use the web connector to do that. So that would also be an option for more self-service analytics. I think the one reason why we're excited by Superset and other approaches is just getting around sort of the licensing restrictions around Tableau, which make it quite difficult. It's great if you're like an analyst, but if it's for like a ministry dashboard and you want to have hundreds of end users across the ministry, that's sort of where Tableau, the pricing model breaks down a bit, unless you have some special deal with the government. So I think we do need to have, and you can't really ship it with, it's a big dependency. You can't ship, like we want to have something that you could ship with OpenLMS without any kind of licensing dependency as an option. But that doesn't rule out the ability to also use Tableau if you want. I think it's probably the approach we want to have long term.
Yes, I do agree. And then I think that is where we can take points out of Tableau. Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Yep.
Just getting on the issue just really quickly, ELMIS is not being used primarily for vaccines at this point. It's for other type of supply chain. Is that correct?
There's also, they have VIMS in Tanzania. So ELMIS, like it's bare bones, is not managing vaccines, but there's VIMS, which is.
Right. Okay. So I'm just thinking of the data. Like the sooner that we have like, so if ELMIS had like a couple years of data in it, like it's beyond kind of our initial scope, I realize, but it would be, that could potentially be really incredibly handy to have access to what that data looks like to see if this approach we're doing would suit those needs of like say 3 years of data with, you know, lots and lots of data. So I don't know if that's something that we could work with the team in Tanzania to maybe take a look at longer term. Because we do need to, like, I guess that gets to the next point, is we do need to figure out sort of what are the data we're going to use for these reports, the mock data, so to speak. We do need to get that. I think that's probably our top priority now from in terms of a dependency.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good pivot. We definitely will want to pick up on that Tanzania thread about the data from VIMS and the LMIS later. But in our last couple minutes, one of the key things we always do at Showcase is also have Team Ill at Village Reach kind of give updates about our work that is dependencies for your work.
Cool.
And so the one ticket there that you just mentioned, Matt, that we should make sure to check in about is this 3413 in our JIRA, a ticket about us getting some mock reporting data so that we could feed it to you. And I know it was a ticket Josh has had in progress, and even though we've been very busy with the release, Josh has also been making some time to keep that moving forward. And I see now it's dragged over to in review and assigned to Peter in the review column here. So maybe, Josh, if I can put you on the spot to just describe a bit about what this ticket was. I mean, you don't have to screen share and showcase or whatever, but catch us up a bit about where it stands, and we can check in on what's needed next.
Sure. Can everyone hear me?
Yep.
Good. All right. Still working. All right. So what this ticket was to just kind of dive into our API. And we came up with it as, from our meetings that we had all together here in Seattle. So as to dive into our API and provide some examples from that API of how you would use it to get the data that you need for this first disk indicator. And so it's broken up into two sections for OpenLMIS. One is the data that comes from requisitions, and one is the data that comes from stock management. These are two distinct domains in OpenLMIS. So in this ticket, well, where it stands right now is it has maybe two limitations, and there's some questions in here about those limitations for our work. The first limitation, of course, is going to be that it only includes right now demo data, and demo data is very sparse. It doesn't have a whole lot of interesting information. So it has just that little bit of demo data. And then the second thing is going into the APIs, it's clear that some of them especially are not very well suited, especially the stock management ones, for getting data out of them in this fashion. So there's some questions in there about the suitability of that. And then also at the very bottom, there's a question about using Atom feeds. And really it's just a question about, does this work well enough? For what we want to deliver in the short term. And then maybe there's a longer term question I can ask later. But does that give a good overview of where it's at?
Sort of, just a very dumb question. How does the requisitions have something to do with, am I missing for the two, the wastage and the stocks? That's why I'm a little bit confused. Are we doing stuff related to those, or are we doing something related to requisitions?
No. So this is, let me put it this way. For the first disk indicator that, what is it? It's, oh my gosh.
Full stock availability.
Yes. Thank you. We need to know the number of stockout days. And from requisitions, there is a field that when you collect your, periodic, meaning monthly or quarterly requisition, you ask directly about the number of days that, that facility was stocked out for. So that's one way of getting at that kind of aggregate number of the number of stockout days. The second way, which can also be fed by requisitions or can be used on its own, is information that's pumped into stock management. And there you'll actually say, my stock, from this date to this other date dropped, to zero. So we have to pull data out of both of those places. And there's the little wiki page that we could show when we did that all together here, where we went into both of those sources. Should be linked at the top.
Okay.
Cool. And I'll just say, I know we only have 4 minutes left, and we really will end like a hard stop at the top of the hour because the product committee will be convening. Peter, from your perspective, I think on these comments in the ticket, you've been the most in the details looking at this data. Do you either have a quick summary of like what is the most important next part of this you still need Josh or our team to be looking into, or is that something you can offline in the ticket comments or whatever keep giving us feedback about what you need next?
Yeah, I think we're doing well. I mean, so for this part, it will fit into, as Clay and Kelvin look at the metrics that are being generated, they'll take that data from the ticket, play around with it, see how it will integrate with OpenSRP data. And then as we get a bit farther along on the ingestion piece of the data architecture, so this is like the NiFi stuff after the Druid and the Superset stuff is, you know, sort of wrapped up, then we'll circle back and start looking into the API connection. So everything is all set. I think we're doing fine. The communication is going very well.
Yeah. The one thing on this, though, just we had this discussion earlier on a separate and related issue, is that I think the thing that's, well, I want to confirm, I think one of the things that's important is that we want to be able to have a historical record of, so we don't want just to have a snapshot of what the current stockout times are, but you want to be able to go back a month ago and see what the, at that point, what the stockout amounts were, right? Times that were stocked out. So we have to be able to, I guess my point is I assume we need to be able to capture historically what those values were at different points in time. And not just what the current state of, it's easy to just say the current state of, you know, what the average stockout, number of days stocked out is across facilities with like the most, like the most recent data. But if we want to have historical, I think that implies we need to kind of capture the state of that in some way that we can then, we can do analysis on. Does that make sense at all?
Yeah, and I think Josh and Peter, I mean, because our time is expiring here, we'll let you two keep taking that offline and dig into what, you know, what more data and specifics you might need to get that picture. So I think I will kind of adjourn our meeting here today. I really appreciate this hour and this first showcase as we start to get caught up on what y'all have done. And certainly we'll be in a lot more daily communication, and these showcases are every 2 weeks. Let me see if there was anything in the chat. Yep, Mary Jo's heading off as well. So thanks all, and we will see you more online and at future showcases.
Thanks, everyone.
Good. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks. Have a good day.
Great. Thanks, all.
Thanks.